Let us pray. God, you promise never to forsake us, but to bring us to life. Nurture us with your presence and sustain us even in the hour of death. Meet us in our deepest doubts when we feel abandoned, drowning in our fear of your absence. Visit us in the tension between our yearning and our anger, that we may know your mercy and grace in our time of need. Amen. Please be seated. When experts weigh in on what makes a relationship work, one thing they emphasize is communication. From the website Bustle, communication is key. It is one of the most important qualities in keeping a healthy relationship. However, not everyone knows how to communicate properly or even communicate at all. Happy and healthy couples communicate the good. They vocalize their love for one another, saying, "I love you," often, and offering compliments to their partner. They also discuss the bad, and instead of sweeping issues under the rug. In order to move forward and grow as a couple, you need to be able to truly talk about your feelings. No matter how awkward or uncomfortable it feels, it will make for a long-lasting and fulfilling relationship. And from the Nonprofit Guide on Mental Health, communicating. Honest, direct communication is a key part of any relationship. When both people feel comfortable expressing their needs, fears, and desires, trust and bonds are strengthened. And from Real Simple, relationships thrive when couples can express themselves freely and honestly. That means no topic is off limits and you both feel heard. Consistent communication is vital to building a lasting life together. Last week, I talked about Job and the question of suffering, which is posted on our website. And today, I want to talk about how important communication is to a healthy relationship. And Job shows us that saying hard and true things and asking real questions is part of being in relationship with God. Questions and truth are not simply tolerated. They keep the lines of communication open when every other avenue may be turned off. And sometimes it can make or break a relationship during times of stress or anguish. A young boy, still in elementary school. His father, a young man, still in his 40s. Dad has just been given a diagnosis of terminal cancer. For the next few years, Dad will undergo surgery after surgery, this chemo treatment and that trial drug to stop the spread of cancer. He will eventually succumb to it before his son begins high school. Fast forward about 20 years, the son now in his mid-30s, and Mom has just received a diagnosis of possible cancer. She has a mass on her ovary the size of a grapefruit, and the doctors have prepared the family for the worst. The evening before her surgery, after having dinner together, alone and no longer needing to put on a strong face for his mother's sake, our young man lays it all on the line with God. In the words of Job, he lays his case before him and fills his mouth with arguments. "You're supposed to be a loving God? One who cares for the least of these? How can you do this to me again? Dad died of cancer while I was still too little to understand how much I need him, how much I still miss him, and now you're going to do the same thing with Mom? What kind of God are you to make me suffer like this?" In the words of Job, "If I go forward, God is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him." Mirrored in today's psalm and words spoken by Jesus Christ on the cross, we hear lament, "My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Time seems to stop as the sun cries out to God in anguish and sorrow for what tomorrow might bring. Eventually, tired and empty, with nothing left unsaid, his anger spent, having given up to God all that he needed to say, the sun becomes quiet and still. It seems that both Job and the psalmist understood this human response to suffering. They seem to model for us that being in deep relationship with God is to talk to God, to have open and direct communication with God, even if we're angry or frustrated. In biblical terms, to communicate our sorrows and our frustrations about injustice and the suffering of the innocent is indeed to lament with our Creator. By being honest with God, Job will come to live into a closeness and feel the real-time presence of God in his life. He will come to realize that asking ultimate questions of life and death, innocence and suffering, these questions asked of God is not to turn away from God, but to draw nearer to God. To move forward and grow in our relationship with God, we must be able to bring all of ourselves to the relationship, the good, the bad, and the not so pretty behaviors of which we just may be ashamed. Like the advice our relationship gurus gave that I began with this morning, trust and bonds are strengthened when communication goes both ways. When the full range of emotions is shared in honesty and vulnerability with one another. Disagreements are normal in relationships, and when we work through them, we can build upon deeper trust with each other. This is the kind of relationship Job will have with God, and this is the type of relationship our young man will experience with God. For in the quiet that slowly comes over our young man that long ago night, a peace seems to settle into his bones, a peace he'd not known for years, ever since his father's too early death. Could this be God, our young man wonders? Is it really true that God speaks in the stillness of silence? Gradually, after speaking his truth and in the peace that comes that night, our young man begins to see the love of God surrounding him and holding him, grieving along with him in the night watches. J.S. Randolph Harris, in Feasting on the Word, believes that speaking the darkness of faith is a daring and a faithful act. When faced with sorrow and suffering, can we shed the empty and unfulfilling theology of, it must be the Lord's will, I guess I just have to accept it? Can we come to God with praise and with lament? Can we bring to God our most difficult questions concerning life and death and the suffering of the innocent? Can we risk losing our faith by being this honest with God? So the way I see it, we have three options. One would be to deny that God exists, otherwise there would be no suffering in the world. Two would be to passively accept that this must be the Lord's will, and we'll just have to deal with it. And three would be to do as Job and our young man did, unwilling to silently accept suffering passively. They bring their questions and doubts to God, while refusing to abandon their faith in God. Arguing with God is an act of deep faith, Harris continues, deeper perhaps than a passive acceptance of whatever happens as God's will or a carefully articulated theological rationalization for why things are. After all, does not God in the end vindicate Job's speech and castigate Job's friends for not speaking rightly about God? So I say, let us be daring. Let us be faithful together. Let us speak our truth to God who is present in our darkness, who understands the depth of human suffering. For did not God take suffering into God's very being through Jesus Christ? In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, only the suffering God can help. And as we know, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And may all God's people say, Amen.